T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and
All right, 204 on The Fan, and a very good Monday afternoon to you. Beningo and Roberts in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here, of course, till 6 o'clock. Big Mike Francesa will come your way. Brian Riscona, Tommy Lugauer, I guess passing like ships in the night right now on the other side of the glass. And, of course, back in Hudson Street in Manhattan, and, of course, Ernie Acosta with us from his home in Yonkers. We are live, of course, from the ever mobile Town Fair Tire studio. Nobody, 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 and nobody on top of that. Pete's Town Fair Tire. Nobody, bro, how are you? You doing all right?
I'm all right. Another week of the new normal that we live in.
The new normal. That is correct.
The new normal of staying inside, you know, when the weather's nice, popping outside, running around a little bit. Right. Watching old sports, dreaming
of
that. Wins.
Did a lot of interesting games that I watched this weekend.
Oh, we got to compare notes, man, because the one thing, like, I watched a bunch of different things, and one of the things I watched was going back to that 86 NLCS. Obviously, I watched Game 6 from the beginning.
Right.
MLB Network put on Game 5.
I saw both of them. I watched Game 5 and 6. I taped 6 because I didn't want to watch the whole thing. I think it was Saturday night. So I taped 6, and I actually watched it yesterday, but I started at the top of the ninth inning. I didn't need to see before that.
No, I understand. Well, you know what's funny, man? And maybe this is a good thing to talk about tomorrow, because the Jets, I give them some credit. The Jets are airing on their Twitter account the Monday Night Miracle, which I have.
Against the Dolphins in 2000?
Yeah, I have some mixed emotions about that game that we can get into.
Okay.
But I want to watch it from the beginning. I mean, I've got to watch the bad.
Oh, that game I would watch in the beginning. I would watch that. But this game, I didn't need to see the Mets get basically one hit against Bob Nepa over, 8 innings where they barely touched them. You know what I mean?
But here's what's funny. So I'm watching Game 5, and essentially, not that it was a similar game, it wasn't, but they couldn't hit Nolan Ryan the entire day.
Right, and really the only hit they had through 6 innings was that home run by Darryl, and that was it.
Which was huge, because they had given up the run in the top of the 5th inning,
No question. And how about the fact, you know, watching that Game 5, how about the fact that, how crazy, Doc pitched 10 innings that game.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you know, this is like unheard of now. And it's funny, you know, you're watching these, and some of the moves they would make, like I'm watching, like, Dave Smith is pitching to Strawberry. This is going back to Game 6. Right. Dave Smith, who the Mets used to kill, is pitching to Strawberry in the ninth inning with guys on base. And I'm like, and he just misses in the clincher in Game 6. He just misses a 3-run home run by about 10 feet in the upper deck. Smith eventually walks him. There's no way he would have pitched to Strawberry in today's game.
No, I know. Dude, when you watch these old games, there are so many things that jump out at you as that's not happening in 2020. Not just the pitchers going deep into games.
Right.
Doc goes 10. Nolan Ryan pitched 9. I mean, it's not as if he came out of the game after 6 innings.
No, definitely not.
But the other thing that's very noticeable, not as much in the Game 5 Met-Astro game, but watching other old games, is the bunt. I mean, the bunt is used so frequently in these games, and the bunt has basically been eliminated in today's game. But I tell you, watching Game 5, I got really emotional missing Shea Stadium. It actually hit me because I'm looking at that old place, and trust me, I understand all the negatives of it. You know, I get
City,
it.
Let me say this too, because I understand what you mean, but I just want to jump in. City Field is a great ballpark.
It is. Oh yeah,
it's a tremendous ballpark.
Look, really the thing about City Field and Yankee Stadium is that it's a much more convenient ballpark for all of us.
Sure, sure.
When we had Robin Ventura on, I wasn't joking that there was a rain delay at a Yankee Met game, and I could not stay in the kind of inside at Yankee Stadium because it's like a busy subway.
Right,
there's
nowhere to go.
Right. You're stuck up against other people. It's brutal. Nowadays, you got clubs. You could stay here. You could stay there. So trust me, I get and I appreciate what Yankee Stadium and what City Field has. But watching that game, seeing the red upper deck and the orange field level and the mez and the original home run apple and the big scoreboard with the cigarette ads, which you'd never see, and the Budweiser ads, which I think you see less of nowadays. But just that beautiful right field scoreboard.
Oh God.
Oh man, I miss it.
Look, Shea, I always say Shea was a dump, but it was our dump, bro.
It was ours, yeah.
Right, no doubt.
The other thing about that game, and it ended up packing up, but when that game started, because the rain conditions were so bad, I think the day before they actually rained out Game 5.
Yep.
So obviously it was a bad couple of days in New York, something we're sort of familiar with.
Yes.
But as the game starts, the place is a quarter filled.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a playoff game, I get it, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but because of the bad weather and the field conditions were brutal, you're seeing puddles in the infield, puddles in the warning track. Eventually, I'd say by the fifth inning, the place just packed up. So I guess people must have kind of taken their time getting to the game, skeptical they were going to play. But when that game started, when Doc's throwing the first pitch to Bill Doran, it's like, 25% of the building is
no, and look, I mean, I remember that. And look, I didn't see a lot of that Game 5, to be very honest with you. I mean, that game started early in the day. And, I was a salesman on the road at that time, food salesman on the road back in 86. And, I remember it well. I mean, be in the car as much as I can to listen to this game in between the stuff I had to do. I mean, in fact, I was in the car when Darryl hit the home run.
Right.
And I can remember cursing my man. They're not touching Ryan in this game. What's going on here?
Oh, my God.
And Doc pitched well. I mean, like I said, the guy pitched 10 innings. He had to throw 125, 130 pitches.
Oh, it had to be more than that because Doc wasn't exactly blowing people away.
No, he gave up like 8 or 9 hits, something like that in the game.
Yeah, and there were guys on base, especially early in the game, and he got very, very lucky. There was a terrible call at first base by Fred Brocklander on the Craig Reynolds double play in which Keith Hernandez absolutely stole the out by getting off first base, probably a second early.
Nobody did that better than Keith, by the way. Let me tell you, nobody got off the base quicker after that in that kind of situation than Hernandez did.
You know, it's funny, just watching these old games, you get an appreciation for how great he was defensively.
Best ever.
For you and everyone who watched him live, you remember it. But
best ever defensive first baseman. And Don Mattingly was great, too. I don't want to disparage him. But, I mean, Hernandez played – I always said Hernandez played first base the way Brooks Robinson played third base.
Yeah.
That's how I would characterize it.
And it's those little things. I mean, it's those little things that you do at first base. But it's funny when you watch these old games, seeing the horrible umpiring and the horrible officiating because it always existed. It's not as if this is all new in this world. And that was a huge missed call by Brocklander, and Keith Jackson, who's doing the game, is taking a shot at him, saying he missed that by a half a step. That's a pretty big miss. And it was a huge play in the game because the Astros would have gotten a run right there in the second inning. And who knows how different it is. The way that 86 team is, they probably come back and find a way to win anyway. But it was a huge play in the game. And Doc, like you mentioned, man, he was tremendous. And I think just about every inning, maybe at the end, in the ninth and tenth inning, he started to pitch probably his best of the game, which is incredible. But there were guys on base throughout that game. He was battling it out of trouble. You mentioned 9 hits he gave up in the 10 innings, plus the 2 walks. So he was facing, there were base runners against him all the time. And the Mets were able to just scratch out that run against Nolan when Darryl Strawberry hit the home run. But I loved watching this because this was a good old-fashioned pitcher's duel between two guys who obviously at the time, I know Nolan at the time was in his late 30s. I mean, it feels to me like Nolan Ryan was always old,
Right.
He was always
old. Well, I mean, just think, he was on the 69 Mets. This is 1986. This is 17 years later.
Yeah.
And of course he still would pitch a lot more. You go to the Rangers and pitch for them for how long?
And that's the funny part. Tim McCarver on the broadcast actually said out loud, and for anyone who watched this had to make you laugh, he says, this could be Nolan Ryan's final innings in the major leagues.
He did say that. Yep.
Which, as you just pointed out, he couldn't have been more wrong about, because
he had at least one more no-hitter after that, maybe even two.
Well, yeah, because he definitely had one with Texas.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe even two with Texas.
And he had some good years. I mean, that's kind of the legend of Nolan Ryan, the fact that he was able to pitch into his mid-40s and was still pretty effective, I think, till probably the last year of his career.
Yeah.
He was pretty effective.
But you know what's funny, too, because the only World Series he ever plays in, of course, is 69,
right?
Which is either the first or second year, whatever it was, of his career with the Mets. And he actually was, he pitched well. I think it was game three, came out of the bullpen and pitched some big innings for the Mets in that World Series. But, of course, he was nowhere near the guy he was going to eventually be once he left the Mets.
Well, I know that in the late 60s, early 70s, it's different in terms of the publicity for prospects and young arms and how good an organization thinks a guy is going to be. You hit on it. He was a big part of the 69 team.
He was, no question.
But when they traded him, he was about 23, 24 years old, and he even said, or they said in this broadcast all these years later, that Nolan admitted to them, you know what, I was probably rushed, I was too young, there's a lot of things I didn't know, and maybe he doesn't develop if he stays in New York. That's the one.
Maybe not.
Hypothetical.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Did you know or think he was going to be that good, or was it just, they're trading a decent player?
You know what? I mean, I don't think I was even that upset about it, because he had never been that good with the Mets. Their potential was always there. We knew we could throw hard, but there was, he walked a lot of guys. He just never got to that level. And he became, became a starting pitcher as well, but he never got to that level with the Mets. So it's like, it's similar. Obviously, Ryan turned out to be a lot better career overall, but it's almost similar to Mike Scott. Scott wasn't that good with the Mets.
Right.
When they traded him for Danny Heap, you're like, it wasn't like you were getting nuts about it. I mean, Scott was an okay pitcher for the Mets, but no way would that the pitcher he became once he started to learn how to scuff the ball with Roger Craig.
right.
In Houston. And it's funny, during the game six, when they're showing game six, and there's actually fans, the Astro fans are talking about him scuffing the ball. They got signs for Scott the ball in the stands.
Yes.
They
were embracing it.
Yes.
Of course. They liked it. They liked playing the heel, something the Astro fan may get used to if we have a baseball season in 2020.
You got that right.
Oh, there was another thing from this game that was kind of funny. Eighth inning, Bill Doran leads off with a base hit, a bunt base hit.
Right.
They advance him to second on a bunt. Okay, fine, which we talked about. And then on a line drive to
he brain locks on a line that the ball, I think it was Mookie playing left. I think it was Mookie, and the ball's a line drive to Mookie, and the ball was not like it was a hit low, like a shoestring type catch. He catches the ball like eye level, and Doran just takes off and gets doubled up easily.
Yeah, he had no idea. It almost looked like Mookie didn't know how many outs there were either.
Either that, or I think what was happening, I think Mookie knew Doran was dead and just kept running in.
Right.
And I think he was thinking about taking it himself and making an unassisted double play. And then he just flips it to, I think it was Santana threw the ball to it short.
Yeah. That's a big spot in the game. It's the eighth inning of a 1-1 game.
Yep.
A
no
swing
doubt.
Game five of the NLCS. And, knowing Mike Scott's going to be available for game seven, it's kind of the same thing as game six. You don't win this game at home. Now you got to go beat the Astros twice at the Astrodome, including beating Mike Scott. And the Met offense in this game did nothing.
They showed a stat. I thought this was interesting. During the 16-inning game, during the pennant clincher the next day, at some point as I'm watching it, they showed a stat where at this point in the series, the Mets had hit like 165.
Yeah.
They had a 3-2 lead in the series, and they hit like 165 as a team.
Well, in the first 11 innings of this game, they had two base hits the entire game.
Right.
The Darryl home run, which was obviously monstrous.
But which was the first hit they got in the game.
Right,
as well.
Which broke up the Nolan Ryan no-hit bid in the fifth inning, if you were thinking that. And then Keith had a base hit in the seventh inning.
Yes.
Outside of that, they did nothing against Ryan. They didn't do anything against Charlie Kerfeld when he first came in.
Right.
And then obviously in the 12th inning they come through, helped out by the fact
Kerfeld throws the ball away trying to pick Backman off first base.
Right. And then that leads to the Hernandez intentional walk. And here's Gary Carter, who's got one hit the entire series.
Yep.
And he comes up with the game winner, which obviously set the stage for the game six victory and the Mets winning the pennant. But that was a hell of a game to watch back, man.
Oh, my God. I mean, well, just think about it. I mean, these two games that they played his 12-inning game the day before. Then they got to jump on a plane and fly to Houston for a game that's another afternoon game that's going to start. You actually start at 3 o'clock Eastern time. I guess it was 3 o'clock Eastern time.
Yes.
Yeah, that game started. So, I mean, you know, and then they play 16 more innings.
Yes.
And you watch, and I still, one of the moments that I watched it a couple times. It was painful, but the Billy Hatcher home run, which always like resonates with me because right. I thought they'd finally won it, and it was just like, you talk about stunned disbelief when this happens, but how Jesse Orozco hung on over the last three innings to finally get out of that game, in Houston.
Yes.
He hung on for three innings, which is basically what he did.
And you see the day before in game five, Jesse pitched two innings. So
yes.
think about it. He did that
right.
on 0 days rest
right.
after pitching
right.
two innings the day before.
Right. There's no way in today's baseball you think he's available. Is he available for game six after pitching two innings? Are you kidding?
Oh, man.
There's no shot.
The thing I love seeing was A. Shea Stadium, but B, I mentioned how the weather was terrible, but as the day was going on, the sun starts
coming.
Got
better.
Out.
Yeah, it got
so
nicer.
You've got the sun out,
right?
Doc
right.
on the mound, playoff game, Shea Stadium.
Yep.
I loved it. I really enjoyed watching that. Getting to see Shea Stadium and the old Yankee Stadium, I get why they're not there anymore. I understand the modern comforts of the new buildings.
We know the deal.
I understand it. Unlike Giant Stadium, where I don't understand it, I do understand the beauty of the new Citi Field in Yankee Stadium. It's more convenient.
Understood. The deal with Giant Stadium is they got to put luxury boxes and they got to have chandeliers at the stadium.
Right, but here's
every football stadium needs chandeliers.
But here's the problem. Here's the issue with the chandeliers at MetLife Stadium. When I walk into Citi Field, when we walk into Yankee Stadium,
right.
we as fans say, you know what? I love the old place, but this is more convenient. This is nicer.
It's also, here's the other thing, too. I mean, Yankee Stadium, you know, it's the Yankees. Citi Field, it's the Mets. You go into MetLife, you know, as a Jet fan especially, well, you know, it's still the Giants.
This I can totally see why you disagree with me on, but I think this is our age. So I did watch the Monday Night Miracle. And,
which was at the old Giants Stadium.
It was at the old Giants Stadium. We could get into it tomorrow because I think a lot of people actually watch it tonight with the Jets airing it. But here's the thing. Giants Stadium, I know this is going to sound bizarre to say, Giants Stadium is my home as a Jet fan.
Sure.
I look at it.
I understand.
See it.
Right.
And it's
because
mine.
Because you weren't around when they were at Shea Stadium.
Exactly.
You know, they left the year you were the year after you were born, I guess. Or something.
It was the year
84.
After I was born, 84 that they moved.
Right.
And I've seen old clips of them playing at Shea Stadium, and it's weird. It's weird to see. I could see why that would be awesome. I could see why that would be cool, but it's not mine. To anybody in my age demographic, or even a little bit younger, or maybe even a little bit older, I see the old clips of Giant Stadium, and I got to admit, I get a little melancholy for it. And I say, hey, yeah, that's really the Giant place. I get it, but it was ours too.
Yep.
MetLife is this antiseptic, it's nothing. It doesn't give me anything as a fan.
I couldn't agree more, man. I what do you want me to say? It's not even like a good-looking stadium.
No.
You know? And it's not like there's a complex around it. You know, I understand they're going to have that mall, whatever they call that there, with the ski slope and all of that. I get it, okay? But still, I mean, you know, it's not like it's right there. I mean, you still got a little bit of a walk if you want to walk from the stadium to get to the mall. You know, so it's just like it's nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's watching an old Jet game or Giant game. I look at Giant Stadium and I say, I miss it and I wish it was there. When I watch an old Met or Yankee game at the old Shea Stadium and Yankee Stadium, I miss it, but I understand why it's not there.
Right, right.
I just have a very difficult time on the Jet and Giant end more than I do the Met and the Yankee end. But it's really cool watching an old game and seeing Shea Stadium. And I think I'm in a pitcher's duel mood because I tweeted this the other day because a few people have requested, hey, name me old games you're going to watch so that, you know, I'll watch it too. And then when you talk about it, they had watched it as well. The other game I really want to rewatch was game five of the 96 World Series. 1-0, Yankees, Braves. Mm-hmm. Talk about another old stadium,
the old
Fulton County Stadium.
That's the Smoltz-Pettit game you're
talking
about.
That's the Smoltz-Pettit game. So I'll rewatch that sometime this week.
By the way, let me just tell you right now, if you're home right now on MLB Network, they have, I don't know if you're a Yankee fan if you want to see this, but they have game five of the 04 ALCS at Fenway. Game five.
No, there's no Yankee fan.
I don't think you want to see that, but that's on. I watched a couple innings of it, and I was coming on the air here, so I don't know. Again, if you're a Red Sox fan, I'm sure you wouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a Yankee fan, maybe you want to see it just to see the old, you know, the Yankees from 04. I don't know if you do, but it's not. It's a painful game, obviously.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Met right. fans, would you like to watch Game right. 7 of the 06 NLCS?
And it's funny. They're talking about, you know, McCarver is doing the game with Joe Buck, and he's talking about, I think Al Leiter is doing the game, too, on Fox. And it sounds like Leiter. And they're talking about where Pedro's a free agent at the end of the year and how this might be his last right. game as a Red Sox, and they're going on. And they're talking about, wow, you know, McCarver's like, well, he could be a Yankee next year. And then Buck goes, well, you're hearing the Yankees and the Angels. And, of course, he winds up going to the Mets.
So they never even mentioned the Mets?
No, not even a mention.
I'm trying to think back to that moment, what we were thinking. Like, did we think the Mets were going after Pedro?
I'm sure we didn't.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm sure we didn't.
Little did we know the Mets were actually going to open up the bank during that offseason.
Yeah, right.
And do what they did.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.